If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
A show brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. Time for What's Toxic and What's Not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg every week at this time in this hour. What's your favorite story from Dr. G this week, Dr. Mike?
It is the LED lights. What is LED lights? How hazardous are they, and how do we protect ourselves, Gary?
Well, the lights that are coming in a way to replace CFLs, which are the compact fluorescents, are LED light. They are a new technology. They're more energy efficient than the CFLs, and they don't have mercury. So all that sounds like win-win. They're way more energy efficient than the incandescents, which we all grew up with, and which is why incandescents are being phased out. Some types of incandescents are being outright banned so that we are going to a more energy-independent future. However, some research in rats is what I wanted to bring up today on whether the LEDs may have some issues. We've known that some people complain about the fluorescent lights because they're not completely on all the time. They may have a little bit of, an on-off cycle to them, and that may give some people headaches. But overall, CFLs have been met with a reception. The LEDs are new, so we're all the guinea pigs here. We do know that people are sensitive to light, and the kind of light you're exposed to may affect you in subtle ways. And so these rats were exposed, not directly shining the light in their eyes, but it was from an overhead LED light setup, about roughly equivalent to about 60 watts, what you'd be exposed to at home. And they got retinal damage. The retina is a part of the back of your eye. They got retinal damage within 9 days. And so these were albino rats, Mike and Joe. They were not your average, kind of eyeball. You know, these eyes are more sensitive to light invasiveness and damage. And so, that's the way they use these kinds of animals for the test, because it is a sensitive test model. And the theory is that the blue part of the spectrum is enhanced in LED lights. There's some blue and some yellow in the light bulb, and they blend to make it look really white. It's a white light, but the blue end does come through in a subtle way to your retina, and they're thinking that that may be the end of the spectrum that's causing this retinal damage. So we don't know quite what it means. I wouldn't say don't buy LED lights yet. I would say, you can tinker with them. Right now, I'd still go with the CFLs. Make sure you don't break the CFL and release the mercury. If you want to put an LED on light somewhere in your house, it's probably not going to hurt you. I wouldn't set up my whole house with LEDs yet until there's more research on this.
Now, does zeaxanthin or lutein, which are the pigments that filter out sharp blue wavelengths in the retina before it gets to the retina, they're kind of coating on the retina, do those help protect you, or was that not studied yet?
Yeah, that hasn't been studied. That's likely what would be helpful in a non-albino eye that we're hoping make us less sensitive. But they haven't gotten down to the mechanisms and all the protective and sensitivity factors. So LED lighting, you're going to put a new light bulb in everybody's house. You better test it first. And they're on the market. They're more expensive. They haven't caught on yet. But they're much more energy efficient. They last longer. I would say for right now, CFLs are still the best buy and the safest buy.
Joe? Gary, the kids like to put flashlights in other kids' eyes. And these little mini, I'm sure he had these little mini flashlights. They're about 3 inches long. Right. They're a little rolled, looks like a roll of nickels. And that light is a really bright white. Is that LED with those little balls in the lens?
No,
is that LED lighting?
those might be halogen lights, which are like a halogen gas that makes it brighter and more energy efficient, but they're not known to be damaging. But, you know, you shine a bright light in anybody's eye for a prolonged period of time, and you're going to affect the pupil and the muscles and in the eye. And, you can do some damage. That's known by shining light directly. So kids playing is probably not a big deal. But that is a form of torture, shining light in people's eyes for a prolonged period of time.
Well, we all did it. Yeah, we all did it. What's the wristband fad of the future?
Yeah. You know how people like to sign up for charities by wearing a Lance Armstrong wristband or some other cause for cancer, and you're wearing a pink band. Well, there's an environmental sensor that could be in a wristband. If they're experimenting now, silicone-based wristbands that look sort of like the rubbery kind of things people have been wearing. And since silicone does such a good job of absorbing chemicals from your direct environment, like from the air around you, this would be a monitor of what is in your environment. So they've already looked and found things like nicotine, phthalates, flame retardants that these wristbands can pick up. Just people who've been wearing them in some trials. They had an occupational study done where they found roofers had high levels of exposure to chemicals you expect coming from tar. So the potential here is that if populations start wearing these and then turning them in like once a month, it becomes a way to monitor a whole group of people in terms of, are we getting more exposure to things we would have never expected would be coming out of our cooking appliances, coming out of our flooring, coming out of our clothing. Chemists can analyze these wristbands and give them back to you, and you can wear them again next month, and we can see if that new thing on the market that has a smell to it is lighting up anything on the wristband. So it's a great idea.
Whether got time, one more quick story.
Whether it'll catch on or not, who knows, but they would be cheap, and it would give our scientists a much better handle on what we're all getting exposed to.
One more quick story, Gary. What do you think would be good here to finish up with Dr. Mike?
Well, let Gary pick his favorite. Gary?
Men's sperm counts or phthalates?
Yeah, let's talk about the French men here and whether they're this is sperm counts dropping is a global story, at least in developed westernized type countries. And the data from France last year was a 35% drop in the average sperm count in French men from 1989 to 2012. So that's not very long period of time, 2% a year decrease in men's sperm. And this latest follow-up study, they looked at across France geographically where the sperm count drops occurring the most. Is it uniform or is it not uniform? And they found the greatest drops in one growing country. And why one growing country? Well, they don't know for sure, but the theory is that French men working in that area are exposed to the high levels of pesticides. And we've known previously phthalates, plasticizers can be, and BPA, these kinds of endocrine disruptors can be toxic to the male spermatogenesis. Well, now we're also pointing, this study points a finger in the direction of pesticide workers. And trying to avoid high levels of pesticide in your diet, or especially in the garden. If us guys, we want to keep virile. And, Viagra's not going to help with your sperm count, guys. They help you in other ways, but we are losing overall about 2% a year our maleness. And that's not something that we want to give up.
Got it, Dr. G. Thanks. Dr. Gary Ginsberg. whatstoxic.com. Go to his website often. What is the connection between your temper and a heart attack? And what are some of the best things of fruits and vegetables you're not eating? Coming up after the break, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.